Addy.
Hey, did you know there's a little pink pill?
Wait, a what? A little pink pill?
Did you say a little pink pill?
Yes, the little pink pill. You definitely need to know about this.
Are you for real? Just to be clear, you're telling me there's a little pink pill for me?
That's right, the little pink pill. And it's called Addy, A-D-D-Y-I, or flibanserin. Learn more about the little pink pill at ADDYI.com. See full prescribing information and medication guide, including boxed warning regarding severe low blood pressure and fainting in certain settings at addy.com/PI or call 844-PINK-PILL.
Good news, ladies. There's more. Addy, the FDA-approved little pink pill, is also affordable and can be shipped directly to your front door. That's right. With insurance coverage, Addy is only $20 per month and $0 after month 3. If your insurance doesn't cover Addy, there is still a discount program to get you the best possible price and get free shipping right to your door. So now's the time to ask your doctor about Addy. Learn more at Addy.com. That's ADDYI.com.
From the Great American Baking Show, Casey Wilson is here, and she'll be crowning a star baker in our studio. Also, best-selling author Sarah Jakes Roberts on how to tap into your inner confidence and unleash your power. Plus, a mystery guest is stopping by, and we're in for a big surprise.
From Studio 1A in Rockefeller Plaza, so up, it's Today with Hoda
and Jenna.
It all starts right now. So
get up. Hey, hey. Hi, guys. Welcome. It's Tuesday. It's the 30th day of April. May is tomorrow.
Can you believe it?
We are here.
All those kids are getting ready to graduate.
It's all happening.
It's happening.
I know.
Summer's right here.
Do you guys have graduations for your kids? Do they have to?
Mila's graduating elementary school.
Wait, what?
Yes. She's going on to middle school next year.
Wait, middle school?
She's graduating elementary school. I'm going to have a middle schooler.
Oh, my God. I'm shocked. For some reason, just saying that is shocking to me.
I know. Like, how
so do they do, they do a ceremony?
They do a little ceremony, and then that'll be it.
Let's talk about your big day yesterday, because yesterday you had an interview that many people have never gotten. It's coveted. And this person likes you, because this is the second time she's done an interview with you. And her name is Anna Wintour.
Yes.
For people who don't know, remember The Devil Wears Prada?
Yeah.
She's the person.
Well, she's the executive in chief of Vogue magazine.
Yeah.
The Met. She has revolutionized this fundraiser.
Yeah.
For the Met. She really has.
The Met Gala is the thing that everyone dresses up at and everyone talks
about.
But
what I think now we know that, right? Like, we think of it as the thing that's everybody dresses up, and the famous people and whatever. But when she started it in 1995, it was just like a small society party. Mm-hmm. Last year, they raised $22 million for the Costume Institute at the Met.
Wow.
All she cares about is that people get into the museums.
Yeah.
And not even like the famous people, which, of course, that's what the night is about.
Mm-hmm.
But I had such an interesting interview with her.
Yeah.
First of all, Bad Bunny is one of the hosts.
Bad Bunny?
Bad Bunny. She told me she went to Brooklyn to see Bad Bunny perform.
Wait, what?
She went to Brooklyn.
How was
it? And jammed out to Bad Bunny.
Bad Bunny?
She said she was amazed by his performance and was so thrilled that she'd asked him to be a host, because he's just so talented.
Well, Jennifer Lopez is a host, too.
Jennifer Lopez is a host.
Yeah.
She said she's been there a million times.
Yes, yes.
J-Lo hasn't, so she wanted to recognize her for all of what she had done.
Style and the rest,
She had such cute things to say about the host, but the other thing she said, which I found to be like maybe she's starting a trend, what's old is new again, is that at the Met party, which we can think of as, you know, all those famous people, there is a cell phone ban. So any of those bathroom selfies were kind of snuck, because they
contraband
that she doesn't want people to have her phones out.
That's kind of good, because I think that's kind of good. So she does it because she wants you to kind of be in the moment?
She's just like, I think they don't want photos, but they also want people to sit and enjoy each other.
I know.
I mean, isn't that...
Think about that for 1 second. If you knew you didn't have it and no one else had theirs, it would all be conversations.
Yes.
And not...
And she said that people have actually written her afterwards and said, thank you so much. I had such a wonderful evening of conversation. Like, with my phone away, I was able to just like really be present, meet people that I don't always get to see, and have a wonderful evening. And I think, like, I mean, first of all,
I think it's really cool.
We should all be doing that, and not in a judgy way, but I'm sort of speaking to myself at our kitchen tables. Like, and I'm always, you know, sometimes getting work text, or Henry is, and I'm like, no. From this hour to this hour, put it away. Yeah. Let's like sit and be with each other. You know?
Think about any time you're with someone and their phone dings and they look down. So that means whatever is happening there is more important than what's happening here. It doesn't matter what it is. It's like ding. Like it could be an ad. It could be a text from their mother. It could be something unimportant. But whatever it is, it's distracting enough to take you away. And there was just a headline I read that said in Norway, they banned school. They banned phones.
Yeah.
In certain schools, and they've done it for years. I think they're on their third year. So now they have data.
Yeah.
And the data shows that girls' grades go up exponentially.
I mean, is that not
their
crazy?
Reliance on any kind of mental health care goes down exponentially. Their attention span goes up. It's like all the things we know.
I know.
Right? It's like, yeah, but they're like, okay, you want some hard facts? Here it is. We've done it. And this is what it shows. The bullying rate went down exponentially.
So what I don't understand as a former teacher and as a mother is why when a principal or a head of school reads that, do they not think, because it's so true. I can be reading the best book or in the middle of a wonderful conversation and get out my phone to show somebody a picture or something or, you know, think, oh, I should text this person. And all of a sudden, I don't even remember what I just was reading.
Yes. You're distracted. You're taken away from it.
I'm 42.
Yes.
I didn't have cell phones growing up.
Yes.
But so how can we expect
our kids? Right. How can we expect them to do it? I think you're absolutely right. I keep thinking about this because the American Pediatrics Association came out with some guidelines.
Yes.
But basically, they're know your kid, know how much they should and shouldn't have. And to me, we've been talking about this. It's the equivalent of telling your kid, you can only have a half a drag off this cigarette.
Yeah.
Okay, just a half. No, because that's too much. Okay, we don't want you to get, but whatever it is going in, it's not good. And I think a lot of parents during the pandemic, and I get it because
both of us did.
You're like, take a phone, watch this. But what happens is once you've done that, now let's say you have a younger child coming up.
Yes.
And then your younger child says, well, wait, she got one.
But here's the thing. And this is something we've talked about. Mm. I know from friends that you can unring the bell.
Yes.
I have an older cousin. She likes to say she's not older, but she is, who has an older daughter. And she didn't know these stats weren't out as much until in the last couple years. So her daughter's got it earlier. She's taken things away.
Yes.
She's given something in social media and then read the stat and taken it away.
Because you give one of your child something, it's like before we knew that seatbelts were safe. It's like, well, they never used seatbelts before, but now we know.
Yeah.
So now you don't get to have that phone.
And can I just say, can you move on?
Oh,
but can I just say, using Mila Hager as an example, who's 11 years old, I have told her real statistics and also like stories
of
people who have been sad because of social media, have felt whatever because
left
of
out,
cell phones. I've
isolated.
Read her studies.
Yes.
And now she says to me, I actually don't want TikTok.
She said that?
I don't, she said it yesterday. I don't want it. And it wasn't, believe me, she's not trying to please me.
No, she's not. We know that.
Okay.
Okay. Read with Jenna. I want to hear about this book.
Tomorrow, y'all, is May 1st. So our pick is The Real Americans by Rachel Kahn. Y'all, this is an incredibly moving novel. It is told in three parts. So you start reading and it's just this epic romance between this wonderful character named Lily. She falls in love with this rich, handsome heir. And you think, okay, are they in love? Something happens. Okay. The next part is Lily's son looking for his dad.
Oh,
okay.
Okay.
I know.
It's getting good.
So it's really great. It's a story about forgiveness, about what we inherit and where we feel really at home. She is an incredible writer. Look how beautiful this
cover
is.
I love the cover, Real Americans. I love the title.
It's in stores, y'all. It drops today. So all you have to do is head to your local indie bookstore, scan that QR code, read with us. It's the perfect beach read. You'll love it.
Love it. Okay, coming up next, we have a surprise guest in the building.
Okay, we actually have no idea who it is.
Zero.
But we were told we're going to be thrilled. So hopefully y'all will be happy too, right after this.
Cell phones. Can't help it. We can't help it.
Addy. Hey, did you know there's a little pink pill?
Wait.
A what? A little pink pill?
Did you say a little pink pill?
Yes, the little pink pill. You definitely need to know about this.
Are you for real? Just to be clear, you're telling me there's a little pink pill for me?
That's right, the little pink pill. And it's called Addy, A-D-D-Y-I, or flibanserin. Learn more about the little pink pill at ADDYI.com. See full prescribing information and medication guide, including boxed warning regarding severe low blood pressure and fainting in certain settings at Addy.com/PI or call 844-PINK-PILL.
Good news, ladies. There's more. Addy, the FDA-approved little pink pill, is also affordable and can be shipped directly to your front door. That's right. With insurance coverage, Addy is only $20 per month and $0 after month 3. If your insurance doesn't cover Addy, there is still a discount program to get you the best possible price and get free shipping right to your door. So now's the time to ask your doctor about Addy. Learn more at Addy.com. That's ADDYI.com.
Okay, this is kind of weird, but the guest that's coming out is a surprise. We don't know who it is, but they did give us 3 clues that we're reading.
Okay, the first clue.
Oh.
She's a Emmy-nominated actress, a Grammy-nominated singer.
What?
And a Tony-nominated performer.
Second clue. She's about to take on one of the most iconic movie roles of all time in a new musical on the West End.
Okay, is that in London, the West End? Okay.
Third clue.
We talked about her mega... What?
Viral hit yesterday. She has the best
life. We know who it is!
What song are you talking about?
And we feel like everybody's going to be dancing to it all summer long.
Well, thank God. It's a catchy tune.
It's got it.
Recorded an album.
Wait, a whole album?
Yeah. Because we were
working
for it. Why not?
Right.
And I've been planning on doing this for years, and I just said, this is the time. And all summer, we did this album, and when I was meeting with the young writers for this particular track, and I said, listen, I am still in the game.
Yeah.
And we still have so much more to contribute.
Yes.
And my influences was Diane Carroll. I remember her. She was on Oprah, and she had a new book out called The Legs of the Last to Go. And she was talking about beauty and sustainability. She played my mom in Courage to Love. But she was, at that age, and this is years ago, she was talking about, the legs, your beauty might fade, but the legs are still kicking still. But like Elaine Stritch and like everyone, remember, Liza, they would always show their legs even but they also equal being sturdy.
Yes.
They carry you through the ups and the downs, and that's what it's all about.
Oh. By the way, you're always vibrant, but you seem it on steroids. Like, there's something that's happening in this moment for you. We've had you on the show many times, but there's something else that I feel like is bubbling up. Is there something going on?
I think my goal was 60. Like, you know what? At 60, I decided to just take my health into consideration.
Yes.
I mean, I kickbox. I do skin,
You just did
all the things for, menopause and all that. I did everything, ticked off all the boxes. And I feel like this is the next chapter.
You took your health seriously. You thought about
yourself.
That's
so important.
An attitude. An attitude and like not waiting for people to get stuff done for me.
Yeah.
That's the other big thing.
Big.
I'm producing. I'm directing.
You're not waiting for the phone to ring.
You're putting out music.
Yeah, good.
You're also a grandmother.
I am a grandmother.
Can you talk about your baby? It's a grandson,
right? He's a grandson, yes. Sonny, he's 2 years old. Literally, when I finish here, I'm going down to say hi to him.
What does he call you?
He calls me Mumsy.
Mumsy!
Which is great because I'm going to London and,
We have to talk about London.
Miranda Priestley.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I actually interviewed Anna Wintour yesterday.
You did?
Yes.
And
I'll give you some advice.
What did she?
She was
did
amazing.
Did she smile at all?
She smiled at me.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know. I felt like I charmed her.
She did it.
But she smiled. And I think that, there is some thing about being misunderstood, which is what the whole point of this is, right?
Exactly.
So what? And tell us about
Jerry
the show.
Jerry Mitchell is directing. Elton John is doing the music.
I know that is.
And writing new music for me.
Okay.
Which is that's another thing. Like, when Elton John's like, no, let me write a new song and you get a chance to debut it. It's
holy
pretty
mackerel.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is going to be in the UK, but when is it coming to New York?
Because we want to see it here.
Or let's go to London.
We can do that.
But
might it come
NBC,
here?
Yeah.
I like a field trip. That's even better. Field trip.
But will it come here there one day, maybe.
I can imagine. I mean, Jerry, we did a two-week workshop in January, and it was amazing. He is like a musical theater surgeon. Like, this doesn't work, this works. He, like, chopped it up, made it amazing. And we've got an incredible cast over there. And I'm excited to, I leave in end of May to start rehearsals.
Wow.
And then we'll be in Plymouth for the summer.
Okay.
And then we open at the Dominion Theater in October of
okay. Yeah. So
road
in
trip,
November, we'll be coming.
Yes.
Okay. Vanessa, we love you. That song is awesome. It's called Legs Keep Dancing. Let's go. It's out now.
Thank you. Thank you, Vanessa. We love
you. What a great surprise. That was the best.
Coming up next, the actress and comedian with a love of baking and chatting.
Yeah, the Great American Baking Show's Casey Wilson after this.
We were so excited. Did you hear me trying to get you to talk?
Yesterday, when we played the song, we were like...
Okay, we know Casey Wilson best as an actress and a comedian, but now she's branching out with two cool new projects.
Okay, she is a co-host on The Great American Baking Show, and she wrote and narrated an original audiobook with her fellow actress and comedian, Jessica St. Clair, and it's called The Art of Small Talk. Hi, Casey.
Casey!
Hi. So, okay. Do we come from the world of loving small talk, or is this not one of your favorite things?
I'm a sick individual, and I love it.
You love it?
I couldn't love it more. That's why I'm here. I want to spread the gospel.
Wait, okay, wait. Casey, we have to talk to you because we actually hate it. But we both have been called out because we're like, God, small talk is so hard. And different friends of ours have been like, but y'all are both so good at it.
Yeah. So good at it. And it is your job. I mean, if I may say.
No, but we try to have real conversations.
In depth.
But that in our book, we go into some people like to go shallow, to go deep. They want to go right to a conversation.
Okay, that's good.
Some people want to skate on the surface just with a simple, like, Christmas lights staying up earlier and earlier every year. You know, or just some people hot out here.
Like the weather.
Different.
Why does it always go to the weather?
And I feel like it gets awkward. Wow.
Okay.
Boy, what a scorcher yesterday was, right?
Guess what? I love that. And I go, oh, wasn't it? You know?
And then
because
what?
It's just human connection. It's not about the content. I think it's about the contact. Trademark me. Just now.
Content.
Contact.
It's, yes. Just like making a human connection with someone that we isn't in our normal sphere. It actually boosts our happiness levels. I'm sure by a percentage. Well, I don't know. I'm not a researcher. But I love small talk and it can improve your life. Okay. Genuinely.
Wait. She's right. But also, I think what we realized is... And also,
we don't say but.
Yeah, sorry.
We say and.
Sorry.
And.
You're right. You're right, Mom.
I love
and,
this.
Okay. And what we realized is when we're not into the small talk is large gatherings.
Yes.
Of a ton of
it's
different
too
people.
Because
it sucks us.
It sucks us
dry.
It does. And you have to be very aware of EVs, emotional vampires, as
what
I call them. Just people that want to take from you. You know, and you guys
drains.
Are probably very susceptible to it,
yes.
But because people know you're great at it and you're incredible, but that drains. On you.
Don't
you have to pull the ripcord pretty quick with them.
Okay.
I think the best small talker is someone who's just a listener. Ask one question. Where'd you grow up? How'd you get the first job? Something basic.
Yes.
And people just want to be heard. That's really it, isn't it?
And they want to talk about themselves, quite frankly.
Yes.
So just questions. And no one is kind of approaching the world like a game. Like no one is boring. Someone's got something to offer.
That's good.
And
now
some people are, let's be honest. But but just a genuine question, complimenting people, finding even just a commiseration at a party. Or if you're in a long line, you're like, am I going to die before we get to the register? Just
you love that.
Something.
You're that girl.
I know.
I like that.
No,
but
you're me.
I love that.
She's
girl.
Right about connection.
Yeah.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but also we have to talk about. I feel like we would have been friends as children, because
never been more touched.
Because you were a little musical theater kid, and you put on plays in your backyard. The first show you saw was Cats.
Oh. Yes.
See, I would have loved her.
Look at your bangs.
I had bangs
my
like
bangs.
That.
Oh my gosh, these photos. I'm coming, I'm like crying. My dad took me to see Cats in the city. I grew up in DC and then he built a little stage in my backyard and I just whipped the neighborhood kids into shape. And I wrote Cats the sequel.
What was
a beautiful
Cats
production.
Did they go to that place in the sky?
They
or what?
Did. It was
they
just
did.
A bunch of kids singing Memory twice. That is an improvement on the first one. And I no royalties have been paid. And I directed kids. I fired them. I took their
lead
roles.
Wait, fired them?
If they didn't know their lines, Hoda, I'm sorry.
How did you do it?
I just said, you're out of here. You didn't know the lines, and there is someone that will be playing your part, and it's me.
You were the one. You were the understudy.
I happened to be there.
Were there ever tears, or you kept it pretty tight?
Yeah, I ran a tight ship. There were tears. My mom would march me to people's houses and knock on the door and make me apologize. I said, I'll apologize. You won't be getting your part back.
I actually, this is Mila as a director. I have a child just like you, and I'd like some advice on how you turned it productive and not just, you know, hardcore.
I saw a lot of books around my parents' house. It was like raising your emotional child.
Oh, you're kidding.
Raising your abusive daughter. And so here I am, but I like to small talk.
Wait, I have a question. Did you grow out of that phase? What happened?
No, she's still a boss.
Are you in it still?
I think so. I think I'm looking to grow out of it soon, maybe in my 50s. But I try to be more friendly.
Wait, we have to talk about the Great American Baking Show.
I feel like it's going to be very different than the Great British Cooking Show, in which we are fans.
Yes.
Because they're so proper, and I feel like here, we just throw some stuff in a bowl.
We do. But Paul, Hollywood, and Prue are still they are the judges. I'm the host. And I have never... can't cook and can't bake, so I'm no help there. But it really is, the Americans, it's a different type of reality show. It's very positive. It's very fun. People help each other, which I'm like, who's going to start screaming at each other and like rip each other's hair out? And it doesn't.
Okay, well, we actually have a little game that we're going to play with you coming up after the commercial break. We are all going to be judges in our very own staff baking competition.
She's going to be the judge. We can't judge.
They're our friends. You're going to have to judge.
We'll be back. I'll be harsh.
Right after this. Just like those kids in the neighborhood.
Yes,
you're out.
Like that.
With actress and comedian Casey Wilson, who's one of the hosts of the upcoming season of The Great American Baking Show. And we wanted to get in on the fun with our own sweet competition called
The Great Hoda and Jenna Baking Show. Okay, we have three staffers who have each made cookies from scratch.
Allegedly.
We are going to let them present their baked goods. We will taste them, and Casey will decide a winner.
All right. Can we start with Allie Berger, our top producer?
So I would like to unveil a salted chocolate chip cookie.
Salted.
A classic soft-baked milk chocolate chip cookie.
Okay.
And there is some pink Himalayan salt on top.
Pink.
Ooh, yes. I think
now, what does the pink salt do?
I just think it's the perfect intersection of salt.
Oh, my God.
That's really good. Mm.
That's a great chocolate chip cookie.
Just a touch underbaked, which is the way I like the cookie.
Underbaked.
Wait,
Allie's your temp.
Turns out you can do everything
when Sean texted us last night and said, hey, bakers, I laughed that we were bakers, but here we are. Bacon.
This is incredible. Really?
That is an awesome cookie.
It.
Okay.
Great. Love it, Allie.
Let me just take these.
That's really good.
It's very good.
Love. All right, we've got our social media video producer, Dana Samuel.
Hi, Dana.
What did you make?
So I made iced lemon
cookies.
Wow. With a hint of lavender.
Okay.
Hint of lavender?
Hint, you might taste it, you might not. But these, I think, are just a perfect flavor for spring and summer, especially when
this
it's nice out.
This kind of seems British.
Make sure you get a bite of the icing. Really
What's
get the
icing?
Lemon.
What kind of icing is that?
It's just powdered sugar with lemon and lavender.
Mm. Real good. Real good.
Really good.
The presentation is excellent.
Thank you.
I worked very hard. Cake-ish.
Yes.
I know. It feels like if a cake and a cookie had a baby.
Yes. Two of my favorite things.
Yeah, me too.
Really good.
Really good.
Love
Thank
that.
You.
And last,
Love
Casey, can meet my assistant, Julia.
Hello.
Hi, Julia.
Hello.
She's the best.
I brought a classic from the Midwest to you, ladies. Buckeye.
I love Do you love a Buckeye?
I love a Buckeye.
Chocolate.
Okay. Wait, peanut butter balls. How do you make these?
You just put peanut butter powdered sugar, roll them up, put them in the fridge, and then dip them in warm chocolate.
This is hard. These are really good.
Gosh. Every single one was delicious.
Okay, we need to powwow.
Okay.
Well, our mics on?
Mm-mm. We can not vote.
We're not voting.
No, we cannot.
I know, we're not, but we're listening. We have to listen. Can you kill our mics?
These were pretty good.
They're all good.
Okay.
All right. The winner is.
It's your.
I'm saying dark chocolate chip cookie.
Oh.
Sorry, Julia.
Come on down, everybody.
I'm trying to come on down.
You get a cake stand.
You get a cake stand.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Those are cute. But you were all wonderful.
Yes.
They really were. Sorry, now I'm like in there in front of you anymore. They all were amazing.
Delicious. So good.
Thank you. And y'all,
thank you.
Y'all can catch the Great American Baking Show on the Roku channel beginning May 24th. Casey's audiobook, The Art of Small Talk, is out on May 7th.
Coming up next.
Thank you, Casey.
Author and pastor Sarah Jakes Roberts on how to tap into the power of your potential. You'll love this interview. Coming up after this.
Hey, did you know there's a little pink pill?
Wait, a what? A little pink pill?
Did you say a little pink pill?
Yes, the little pink pill. You definitely need to know about this.
Are you for real? Just to be clear, you're telling me there's a little pink pill for me?
That's right, the little pink pill. And it's called Addy, A-D-D-Y-I, or flibanserin. Learn more about the little pink pill at ADDYI.com. See full prescribing information and medication guide, including boxed warning regarding severe low blood pressure and fainting in certain settings at Addy.com/PI or call 844-PINK-PILL.
Good news, ladies. There's more. Addy, the FDA-approved little pink pill, is also affordable and can be shipped directly to your front door. That's right. With insurance coverage, Addy is only $20 per month and $0 after month 3. If your insurance doesn't cover Addy, there is still a discount program to get you the best possible price and get free shipping right to your door. So now's the time to ask your doctor about Addy. Learn more at Addy.com. That's ADDYI.com.
It's not necessarily that you ever get to a place where you no longer have the fear, where you no longer have the insecurity, but you stay on the front line long enough to realize that that fear is just a boogeyman. Because when I allow my faith to be on the front line, when fear starts talking, I outlast the fear. I keep showing up regardless of what the inadequacy says, because at the end of the day, I have made a decision that I am not going to move out of the position where God has placed me.
Come on, that is Pastor Sarah Jakes Roberts delivering a sermon on overcoming insecurity. In addition to leading congregations, Sarah is also an author. She's a speaker, a philanthropist, and Time Magazine named her an emerging thought leader for this generation.
Yeah, if her name sounds a little familiar, she's also the daughter of Bishop T.D. Jakes. And now Sarah has a book out. It is a beautiful book. It is called Power Moves. Pastor Sarah, good morning. We're so happy you're
here. Good morning. I'm glad to be here, even though I missed the cookies.
I know. We should have brought some cookies for you.
We always have some for you. There's something about your resilience, you sitting across from us at this table at this moment, and I think back to your childhood.
Yeah.
And you describe it eloquently. At 13, you were pregnant, and at 14, you became a mom. And I bet you in those days you were thinking, what is my destiny?
Yeah.
It can't look good.
You know, I could not see past this idea that I would never overcome shame, that I would always be defined by this one thing for the rest of my life. And I feel like I spent 10 years grappling with the power of shame, the power of insecurity, the power of anxiety, which is why I wrote this book, because we have powerful opponents in fear, insecurity. Yes. It's not just something we should normalize. But when we see it as powerful, it helps us to bring our power to the table as well.
So let's go back to that time. You were 13, 14.
Yeah.
Your dad is a very famous pastor.
Yeah.
How did that affect your relationships within your family?
Oh, goodness. I think that there was a lot of grief. I think, you know, no parent is hoping that this is the path their child will take. We want them to have the easiest road possible. But I do believe that it also gave me an opportunity to have a sense of belonging. In a world that felt so much bigger than me, I often wondered where I fit. And now there was this little human that I knew was counting on me, and it made me mature, and it anchored me and allowed me to become, I believe, the woman that's in front of you today, because I felt like I needed to show up for him.
Yeah.
Power is an important thing, but yet no matter what happens in your childhood, and everyone who's listening has something, that when it comes up, it like is like a knife in their heart. It's like, ooch, there's that old pain again, whether it's you felt you weren't enough, you weren't seen, whatever your thing is. How do you overcome that? Because you stand before these congregations. They know everything about you.
Yeah.
And you are just, you're preaching so beautifully.
I am so glad you asked this question, because so often we get stuck in what we did, but we don't look at the context of why we did it. When I looked back at my life for the longest, all I thought was, oh my gosh, you got pregnant. How could you? How could you? How could you? But when I remember how isolated I felt, how angry, how resentful, I have compassion instead of that cringe that I used to have.
Yeah.
If we look at the context of why we did it, what we had to work with, what we didn't have to work with. I believe that we can find a way to love the person who made the decision and then love that person into growing into someone who takes those lessons and throws them into the world with confidence and joy, because I have overcome what almost tried to take me out.
That's it. I think right now, and probably forever, parents are so worried about letting their kids fail. We have social media, technology, things last forever. Don't post it, it will last forever. But the truth is, if you can't fall down, how do you know your own power?
For sure. Also, I think we have to be able to own our own truth. And part of our truth is I make mistakes. And if we fall for this idea that I have to have this perfect image, it has to have this beautiful illusion, we will miss out on the opportunity to have this beautiful jagged edge masterpiece that is all of our lives.
I think trying to find your voice for any woman is very hard. Whether you've been in a business or in your own family, it's like sometimes women feel invisible, not seen, not heard. How do they get that power back?
You know what? I think even more than feeling invisible, people have put words in the mouths of women for so long. This is what you should say. And I think there has to come a point where we say, stop putting words in my mouth. Fear has put words in my mouth. Society has put words in my mouth. I want to figure out what my own voice is. And the beautiful thing about this is I'm shy like that, so I don't always want to speak out, but I started practicing within myself. If you can tell your own self, I don't really want to do that. That doesn't feel good to me, even if you still do it, to begin practicing hearing your own voice so that it doesn't shock you when you're like, you know what? I'm going to say something this time. We don't have to go from zero to 60 where we're burning all the bridges. But we could get our matches out. We can start eyeing the bridge and start thinking to ourselves, what do I want to say next time that is more aligned with my truth? How do I advocate for me in the world that I'm creating for others?
And also, just quickly, but to make a leap or a change in your life, to leave the guy who you should have left a long time ago, it means that you're jumping. But jumping's scary. It's like you don't know what's out there.
Jumping is scary when you jump with your eyes closed, but I want you to have a vision for what you're jumping to. Who is the woman on the other side of this relationship? What makes her feel safe? What makes her happy? What allows her to feel empowered? Start envisioning her so that when you're jumping, you're not jumping blindly. I'm jumping into a vision of who I want to be as a result of who I wasn't in this relationship.
Brilliant.
That's
brilliant.
So good.
Jump with your eyes open.
Right. Have something. See right.
Oh okay. Don't. Okay. Pastor Sarah.
We're taking a break.
Please stay here, because you're going to share the three steps that could lead you to living your most powerful life.
Okay.
Right after
By the way, that's so good, because you're right. People are scared because they can't not imagine what's there.
We are back with Pastor Sarah Jakes Roberts, who's written a new book. It is so awesome, y'all. It is called Power Moves.
Yes.
Okay, so one of the things that we were just talking about during commercial break is part of this whole conversation is redefining what powerful means.
Yeah, for sure. I love the title of the book. I think most people are like, it's going to show you how to make a power move, but power moves is going to show you how to flow with power. Power is fluid. And if we think that our power is only reserved for our 20s, it's only reserved for a certain stage in our life, then we will miss out on the opportunity to see the fluidity of power and defining it for where we are now. What does power look like after the divorce? What does power look like in my 50s? Always asking ourselves that question.
How about Vanessa Williams walking
in? Oh my gosh.
What does power look like at 61? What did you think of that?
I absolutely loved her taking control of the narrative of her own life. She could have grieved and lamented who she once was, or she could have said, I still have air in my lungs. My knees are still working. She was out here dancing. And she decided that power for me looks like freedom.
And power for her, she's not waiting for the phone to ring
that's
anymore.
Right.
She's creating her own.
Creating her
destiny.
Own. Well, people are wondering, like, what are some things that I can do myself to find my power? And you line out so many great things in your book, which people should get. But you say there are three steps, and the first one is marinate.
Yes, the first step is marinate. I want you to begin marinating about what power looks like for you. Let's take all of those wins and all of those losses and marinate on what do I want to do with this next stage of my life. Even if you don't know what you want to do practically, what do I want to feel? Who do I want to become? What are my core values? Let's start marinating on that. And then the second step is activating it. Let's allow some of those things you're marinating on to activate in your life. If it's a whisper within yourself, I'll take that. But if you can practice mm-hmm. on a friend and relationships, that's even better. Begin to activate who you are becoming, and then you got to pray.
Yeah.
Let's mm-hmm. invite the power, the all-powerful, mm-hmm. all-knowing God into our choices, because power is not about perfection. Power mm-hmm. is about having humility while still trying. Mm-hmm. And when we invite the presence of God, we are empowered to keep going.
Oh mm-hmm. my gosh, don't you love that? And I think the marinate part mm-hmm. is so interesting, because some of us, all of us, are moving so fast, taking care of kids, working, doing this, that we don't allow ourselves to really stop, yeah. rest, mm-hmm. think, mm-hmm. calm, to even know who we are and mm-hmm. what we want.
Oh, is that not, I'm constantly asking ourselves, who am I outside of how I serve others? And unless we are in stillness and taking the time to say, who do I want to be? And is this true? A lot of times we are running off of yesterday's power. We're locked into a definition of what was powerful for us 10 years ago, mm-hmm. but defining what does power look like for me now and how does my life need to change, it's beautiful.
Well, sometimes you're in a place in your life where you have a friend group or relationships or whatever they are, and they all have already defined you.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. Sarah, you're this person. Well, now you want to step into your power, mm-hmm. okay? And sometimes, if they're not great friends or friends who want to feel comfortable, they don't like that.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of courage sometimes to say, you know what? I'm going to do something for me. Not for you, not for you, not for you. But that takes a lot to come out and say that.
It takes a lot of courage if you say it like that, because now people are like, whoa, wait a minute. Where did this come from? But to say, you know what? I've been robbing you from the gift of who I really am.
Oh.
And I've been sensing for the last few weeks that I want to show you who I am, who I'm becoming. And I want to know if you'll be on this journey with me. I have found that people have a lot more elasticity than we give them credit for. But because we are so afraid that they won't make space for us, we stay small.
Oh.
You said something. I love that. You said something I want to dig more into, which is power is not perfection.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That, you know, I think especially as moms, you know, we're like, oh, gosh, you know, let's get this. Let's do this. Let's do that. But you say you don't need to be perfect to be powerful.
Let me tell you, I was thinking this. I was like, man, God, I want to be powerful. I want to feel powerful. And God was like, you know what? You want to feel arrogant. You want to feel invincible. You want to feel like you never make mistakes. But there is power in being confident in what I know and being humble about what I'm learning, about allowing myself to be on a journey and not feeling that I am defined by either of those mm-hmm. things, because I'm a combination of them both. And so some of us don't step into our power because we're like, if I fail, if I mess it up, then I'm going to be embarrassed. And that's okay. You can say, I messed it up, I failed, but I'm getting ready to try again. Power is giving yourself room to move.
Some people don't have their power, can't step into it because they don't really have their purpose. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just feel like you're spinning because you're paying your bills. I need the insurance. This is all happening. But you don't feel that power because you're not on the train yet. You're not where you're supposed to be. How do you think people can find that, their purpose?
You know, I am not one of those people who believe that you step into a specific lane and that is your purpose.
Right.
I think your life is purposeful. And I think the question we must ask ourselves is, how can I bring purpose to the moment I'm standing into?
Yeah, totally.
How can I bring value to the people I'm in connection with? I don't know that I'll ever be a host on the Today Show, but I am here thinking to myself, how can I bring purpose for the 5 to 7 minutes I'm going to be here? How can I make their lives, their world better? But I ask myself that in Target when I'm having an exchange with someone at the register.
Yes.
I am purpose. I'm not looking for it.
Finding the purpose and the little moments of every life. Like,
did you just say,
so
I am purpose? I'm not looking for it?
Yes.
Oh my God. There's so
no,
many
No, but you're
things.
Right. Finding
that's
the purpose
it.
In the small.
Yes.
Yeah. And as a mom, when you wear as many hats as I do, you have to see everything as purposeful. And if you don't, then maybe it's not something you should engage in. If I cannot bring purpose to this and it is not serving me and growing in some way, then maybe this isn't for me, because I want to add light wherever I go.
Okay, what you said is a tiny fraction of your book.
Yeah.
So we want people to get this book because
you
it is
all amazing.
In it. And remember?
Will you come back once a month?
Yes.
We need you here.
Power
if
moves.
You bring me cookies,
we'll bake you. We'll bake you your favorites. Power moves. You can get that book. It's at today.com/books.
Thank you, Sarah. We adore you, and we will be back right after this.
So good. So good. I told you. It's like everything. Look at me trying to take credit. All right, before we go, we want you to weigh in on some hot debates that have divided the internet. So go to today.com/poll. Cast your vote.
Okay, y'all, tomorrow, Busy Phillips will be here.
Love her. Plus music producer and foodie, Benny Blanco. He's going to cook for
us. Let's eat
Look
some
at
more.
Benny.
Hi, Benny. All right, bye, y'all.
Bye.
Addy.
Hey, did you know there's a little pink pill?
Wait. A what? A little pink pill?
Did you say a little pink pill?
Yes, the little pink pill. You definitely need to know about this.
Are you for real?
Just to be clear,
You're telling me there's a little pink pill for me?
That's right, the little pink pill. And it's called Addy, A-D-D-Y-I, or flibanserin. Learn more about the little pink pill at ADDYI.com. See full prescribing information and medication guide, including boxed warning regarding severe low blood pressure and fainting in certain settings at Addy.com/PI or call 844-PINK-PILL.
Good news, ladies. There's more. Addy, the FDA-approved little pink pill, is also affordable and can be shipped directly to your front door. That's right. With insurance coverage, Addy is only $20 per month and $0 after month three. If your insurance doesn't cover Addy, there is still a discount program to get you the best possible price and get free shipping right to your door. So now's the time to ask your doctor about Addy. Learn more at Addy.com. That's A-D-D-Y-I.com.